And welcome back to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's, located off of 454 West King Street. 265-1886 is the number for Capone's. We're back. Sports Out the Wazoo, we just finished up the talk with the batting stance guy, the legend.
I'm still on cloud nine right now, personally.
That's your hero right now.
I'm telling you, like he said, I've got that weird quirky skill. Like, he can just watch something once and notice somebody's batting stances. He can notice their mannerisms. That's seriously my thing. My entire life, if I hear a song on the radio, anywhere from one to two, maybe even a third time, sometimes if it's a crazy song, I can remember the lyrics. It's crazy.
I want to almost think that that's partially ADD coming in.
It is partially ADD, but...
Because you can focus on anything but schoolwork. But then when it comes to music or something, then it's just like, man, I can pick all this up.
No, but what's really crazy is, too, I used to sing in high school. I sang my first year in college in a choir. I like to think I have a decent voice. Most people don't know that about me. That's something I won't tell a lot of people. What else is weird? If a song is coming on, you can tell me the name of a song, and I can know the key. I can find the key of that song before the first note happens, and it matches up. It's crazy. I got those weird, quirky skills, too. It's not just a batting stance guy.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. I'm still a little shocked at the singing part, but...
Don't hate.
I'll take it. I'll take it in stride. But either way, we have Darren Gant from the Rock Hill Herald on today, talking a little bit of Panthers talk. A lot going on in the Panthers world right now. So we want to go ahead and welcome him to the show. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Doing good, Darren.
Doing well. Well, you know, Darren, I think the biggest story right now, at least in Panther universe in the Carolinas, is Steve Smith and his comments from the last game. Obviously, only had one reception for 4 yards. After the game, he said that he feels like he's not even a factor. And you just said in your blog today that he really didn't back away from those comments today. How do you think his attitude is going to impact the Panthers and the receiving game?
Well, you know, Steve gets a case of the cranky pants every now and then when he doesn't get the ball thrown way enough. He's like a lot of wide receivers in that respect. But the thing I'll say about Steve is he's a head down kind of guy. And Jake DeLome talked about that today. He said, you know, he saw a different Steve out there today in practice. And, you know, that's the way the guy's always operated. I mean, he will look for anything for motivation. And I'll just tell you, just to give you a little insight into the kind of the way this guy's mind works, he's always looking for something. I mean, he's practically begging people to say he's a step slow, even when nobody said that. And he's been known to invent slights just to take offense at him. And I referred to him the other day when he said to me, you know, made the original comments to me the other day down in Tampa, you know, he kind of walked away. I tried to ask him a follow-up question, and he said, you know, that's it. My name's Steve Smith, and I stand by it. It was like a paid political advertisement or something, you know. So I'm Steve Smith, and I support this message. But you know, after the fact, when I wrote it up for the Herald the next day, I referred to it as this bombshell. And Steve looked at me today, and I asked him a question, and he just started going tick, 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 and it, you know, basically accusing me of calling him a ticking bomb.
Yeah.
And that's just the way. I mean, the guy takes offense at anything and uses it for motivation, and that's the way he's kind of always been as long as he's been here. And, you know, honestly, it's the time when you would expect Steve Smith to come back with a big game.
Darren, we'll keep talking about Steve Smith a little bit right now. Trade deadline came and went yesterday. Not much happening. The Panthers were one of the few teams that made something happen earlier in the week. They got Tank Tyler for a fifth-round draft pick from Kansas City. But there were rumors that Steve Smith, and I know you shot these down, but there were rumors that Steve Smith was involved in maybe a trade going to Miami. Was there absolutely any validity to anything involving Steve Smith at the trade deadline?
Not any. I mean, I can't say that strongly enough. I mean, a bunch of people worry, but I think what you had happen was, and I don't know, it's one of those things that gets out there on the message boards and somebody at a radio station picks up on it and says it as if there's something to it. And I just think this was phony the whole time. I mean, there was never any, you know, beyond being the best player on the football team, Steve Smith is an absolute favorite of the owner, Jerry Richardson. I mean, he's, you know, Richardson's kind of taken him under his wing, sees him as a pet project. I mean, a kind of guy he likes to work on both as a football player and as a man. And I don't think, you know, Steve Smith's ever going to play anywhere else, to be perfectly honest with you. He's kind of made Charlotte home and is comfortable here. I mean, Steve comes from L.A. He wanted to get out of that area. I mean, he had a tough life growing up. And, I mean, Charlotte's got a lot that he likes right now. I mean, he lives in the suburbs where it's quiet and his kids can play soccer and he can go around and not be bothered. And I don't think there's, you know, I don't think he wants out of here. And I know for a fact they don't want him out of here.
Darren, talking about the trade, though, Tank Tyler coming from Kansas City, a fifth-round draft pick in return for a guy who was drafted overall in the third round back in 07. He started all 16 games last year for Kansas City. Talk about that pickup. What does he bring to the Panthers? And on the other side of that also, it seems like Marty Herney has done a great job assembling talent for this organization to work with, even if they are a little banged up right now.
Well, I tell you, it's interesting. I mean, Tank Tyler in and of himself is no great shakes. I mean, he's not a season changer, but I tell you what he does. He gives them another legitimate experienced defensive tackle if anything happens to Hollis Thomas. And they didn't have that before. I mean, before they were able to pick up Hollis Thomas, they were out there trying to play nose tackle with a bunch of 285, 290-pound guys. It just wasn't working, in case you didn't notice the first three games of the year. And I mean, as big of a boost as Hollis Thomas brought to that team, you know, it makes you wonder how that's possible, considering Hollis Thomas has never been to a Pro Bowl and will never go to one. So, you know, they needed somebody to be able to play that position, and Tank gives them another big body that can play over the nose and do those kind of things, which it kind of frees up Damian Lewis to do the thing he's best at and just makes him a little more legitimate up front. But I think even more so than that, those guys walked into this season old and thin at defensive tackle. They walk into next season young and deep, because I think Mike Kamoiatu's runs over here, you're talking about a 375-pound guy with a torn Achilles on the wrong side of 30. I just don't think you can count on getting anything out of him. But they walk into next year with Damian Lewis, who's still a quality player when he's able to just rush the passer as a three-technique guy. They've got Corvey Irvin, this year's third-round pick, who showed a little flash before they, frankly, redshirted him with a minor knee injury just to stash him for a year. And then you've got Lewis Leonard, who they traded for and got hurt, and Tank Tyler. And it's a pretty good place to start, you know, depending on what happens with Julius Peppers. And even if he's gone, they come back in with Charles Johnson, Everett Brown. All of a sudden, it's gone from an old line to a kind of a young line. And I think it's well for what Herney's trying to do, both now and in the future.
Well, with all these kind of injuries and stuff, to, especially the defensive line, you even said in your blog that each piece, each element of the game is kind of coming along slowly for the Panthers. Eventually, the run game has kind of come along, especially the last couple of games. How do they get the defense to come along a little bit further, and especially the passing game to kind of start propelling them further into the season and start playing better quality ball over the course of the season, even on this two-game win streak and going in against Buffalo?
Yeah, well, the pass game's the one element that really hasn't shown any sign of being a professional football-caliber unit. I mean, the defense has had moments, particularly the last 2 weeks, where they've started to put things together and they're feeling good about themselves after beating up on two bad teams. And the run game certainly showed up Sunday. The funny thing Sunday was the Bucs lined up, put seven in the box, doubled Steve throughout the day, and kept another safety high. They were practically daring the Panthers to run, so they took them up on it. And it worked well to the tune of 267 yards. So, you know, I don't think too many teams are going to make that mistake. These guys are going to see eight in the box, and there's going to be opportunities in the passing game. Now it's on Jake DeLome. I mean, he knows he's got to play better. And as much as he's been through over the last 10 months, really, since the playoff game against Arizona, this guy hadn't had a lot of positive feedback. And he knows that for this team to turn around, he's in the middle of it. He's the one that's got to fix it and going to start getting his own game right if they're going to go anywhere this year.
Darren, talking about this team a little further, from a fan's perspective, it seems like even when they win, it feels like a loss. There's always these bad things that you take away from it. But for this team, they've won two in a row. That's a winning streak for them. They feel like they can beat Buffalo, a very bad run defense team, this coming weekend at home. Do you think if they get to 3-3, it's a whole new season for them, and then motivation and momentum really starts kicking in a positive way for them?
Well, they only feel like losses because of the negative media that drags around after them documenting their every move. But, no, I mean, I think they I hesitate to say it's a brand-new start, because if you get to 3-3, then you go to Arizona, and then you come back with a trip to New Orleans. So, I mean, 3-3 could turn into 3-5 in a pretty big hurry. So I think more so than just getting a win, they got to play better football. And, I mean, that's where the encouragements come in small steps for them. I mean, the defense finally started playing. Last week was the first time it looked like they could run the ball anywhere approaching, you know, the way they did in 2008. And I think you've got to see that from the passing game. I think unless Jake and Steve make a few plays on Sunday, it's hard to expect them to make a run. I mean, because they can't, you know, they're not going to just be able to line up and only run against some of the teams they've got coming on the back half of this schedule. Again, you come right out of 3-3 with at Arizona, at New Orleans, and that's tough, man. I mean, the way New Orleans is playing right now, I don't care how improved the Panthers defense is, they don't want any of that right now. I mean, until somebody else does something. Now, I just don't think there's any chance of the Panthers defense lining up against the Saints and thinking they're going to hold them under 30 points. And, I mean, the Giants couldn't, and the Giants have been far better defensively over the last year and a half than the Panthers have.
Well, Darren, I guess the other big storyline from the game against the Buccaneers was Dante Wesley's hit on Clifton Smith, the return man for the Buccaneers. A lot of people called it a cheap hit. A lot of broadcasters, a lot of people, especially in the media, had a lot of negative things to say about it. He got suspended for one game. What are your feelings on that hit?
I think it's probably right. I mean, I think Dante, you know, I'll say this. Dante fell victim to the fact that his play got shown over and over on ESPN, and when those things get in the public eye, New York has a much clearer view on them, and the punishment tends to be a lot more harsh. That being said, it was a dirty hit. I mean, the guy left his feet. He launched himself into Clifton Smith. Whether Smith was trying to throw up a fake fair catch signal or what, doesn't make any difference. I mean, Dante's not a dirty player, but Dante made a dirty play. And, you know, he's lucky he didn't get stomped, because it happened over next to the Bucs bench, and for a little bit he was surrounded. And Dante was talking after the game, and he kind of laughed. He said, you know, for a little bit there I was wondering where all my guys were, because I was in a sea of white. And you know what? It was very close to becoming an ugly scene, because, you know, both benches cleared essentially, and, you know, it took a long time to get those guys separated. But, you know, they're going to miss Dante. I mean, he's kind of the next in line. You know, the Panthers have always been a soft place to land for a lot of these veteran special teams only guys. If you think back over the years, like Michael Bates, like Carl Hankton, like Nick Goings, guys who really didn't have any use on offense or defense, but they kept them around for this. And Dante's kind of the next link in that chain, and they're going to miss him because they've got – and that's been a problem, because they've got a lot of young guys out there who, you know, frankly, Gary Barnage is their leading special teams tackler this year. And Gary probably hadn't run down a kick since his freshman year at Louisville, you know, 4 years ago, I guess that was. So they've had a lot of problems on special teams, and they're going to miss Dante this week. But I think the punishment's probably fair, considering. I mean, you can't leave your feet and hit a guy who's looking up in the air. The league's really emphasizing this year taking care of what they refer to as defenseless players, and that's essentially the position Smith was in, looking up in the air waiting for the ball to come down.
You're listening to Sports Out the Wazoo on 90.5 WASU, talking with beat writer for the Carolina Panthers, Darren Gant of the Rock Hill Herald, talking some Carolina Panthers right now. Darren, I want to talk about the running game, because it finally came alive. And Coach John Fox actually made a good point during the week. The running game last year, as great as it was, didn't get started until about week five last year. It got started this past week, both running backs getting over 100 yards. The Panthers love to talk about attitude and being a physical team in the trenches and the offensive line. Do you see that energy back with this team this week again in practice?
Yeah, it's moving in that direction anyway, and it doesn't hurt that, you know, they're playing the Bills this week, and the Bills are the worst run defense in the league. And, you know, you look at what Thomas Jones did to them last week. Now, granted, Thomas Jones got an extra quarter of football, but he was still on the other side of 200 yards by himself. So, you know, certainly there's going to be opportunities to run. But if you look at it, they've been scrambling. They've been fighting. They've been clawing for some kind of moment to hang their hat on in the running game. If you think back to the Washington game, they get first and goal at the one. What do? They try to slam it straight ahead four times in a row, the last time with Brad Hoover. And it's just you could tell they were just fighting so hard for some kind of defining moment for that running game, and it hadn't happened prior to last week. So, you know, from that standpoint, it was huge. And talk to Jordan Gross and Travell Warden after the game about it. I mean, and they admit they needed that. They needed some kind of positive reinforcement that, you know, all the work that they put in last year and keeping that unit together was really worth it, because prior to now, it was hard to tell that they were ever good at running the ball. And, you know, so I do think it was a pretty big step for them.
Darren, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Real quick before I let you go, the Panthers play at home on Sunday, so are you going to make it up to Boone for Black Saturday against Georgia Southern?
You know, I'm ashamed to say I'm not going to be able to make it.
That's a letdown.
Previous family commitment. Going to try to get up there at some point this season. I can't believe you guys let me go this whole time. I never asked about Dexter Jackson.
Oh, yeah. How about that? It seems like time has passed. It's kind of flown under the radar. How's he doing on the practice squad?
Yeah, you know, Dexter's an interesting project, and they liked him an awful lot when he was coming out in the draft. They weren't going to take him in the second round, but I think if he was there in the third or fourth, they were genuinely interested in adding him. And I don't know that he's necessarily down the road a return man in the NFL. That's kind of how the Bucs had him pigeonholed. But, you know, he's in a good spot because Richard Williamson, the receivers coach, who came up to Boone for his workout at his pro day, if you guys were there, Richard was there, and he's a guy who's turned people into things that they weren't before. I mean, Rocket Ismail was only a fast guy who returned kicks prior to meeting Richard Williamson and went on to, you know, make millions of dollars off the Dallas Cowboys based on what Richard taught him. So Dexter's in a good spot. It's going to be a while before he's, you know, really pushing for a roster spot on the 53. But, you know, I told him it's a shame. I was joking with the general manager before the game Sunday. I said, it's a shame you don't travel the practice squad guys, because you could have got Dexter together with Corey Lynch, who's with the Bucs now, and we could have had a little moment down there on the field.
Well, Appalachian State reunion.
That's right.
That's right.
Darren, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Have fun this weekend. I'm sorry you couldn't make it up the mountain to watch the Eagles lose on Black Saturday to the Mountaineers.
Yeah, hopefully things are turned around up there too, but we'll have to get up there sometime. I appreciate it, Phil.
All right, Darren, thanks. We'll talk to you soon. Darren Gant, beat writer of the Carolina Panthers for the Rock Hill Herald, ASU alumnus. That's why I make mention of coming up to see the Mountaineers play on Black Saturday, taking on Georgia Southern. It's going to be a crazy one. We'll have all the action, of course, as always, 3 o'clock right here on 90.5 WASU FM or online at WASURocks.com. If you're like Darren, you won't be around. You can't get our feed. So, got to take a quick break, though. When we get back, we're still waiting for Coco Hillary. Practice must be running long over there. They're working hard.
Hey, they're working hard for Black Saturday. They know what's on the line.
They do know what's on the line. So, we're waiting for Coco. We'll get him at that dangerous. That's all I'm going to say about Coco right there.
Oh, gosh.
We'll get Coco on the line. We got some baseball talk to get into. World Series, it's inching closer and closer. Your Yankees, they're looking good.
I'm hoping. Only one more win away, I guess.
All right, more sports out the wazoo next on 90.5 WASU FM, online at WASURocks.com.